From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues his series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the filling of the Spirit. His text is the classic passage on the subject, Ephesians 5, verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." At the outset of the message, Dr. Cairns explained that his main focus is on that continual fullness of the Holy Spirit which Christians should experience in their daily lives, rather than a special empowering for some particular spiritual service. The text draws a comparison between the effects of alcohol and the fullness of the Spirit, leading to the conclusion that there is such a thing as a counterfeit of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to answer the question, is it ever right to have an abortion? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
This may surprise you when I answer the question, is it ever right for a woman to have an abortion? Yes, it is. Now, that answer is brief, but it's too brief, and therefore is open to be misunderstood. Abortion on demand. Abortion as a means of birth control. Abortion as a mere convenience to a woman who has had what's been called an unwanted pregnancy is nothing short of murder. However, there are occasions when, for example, a pregnant woman has a malignant cancer. In order to save her life, surgeons may have to open her up and remove the cancer, but in doing so, the baby will die. Now, that would be an abortion to save the life of the mother. Is that justified? I can find no reason in Scripture to say other than it is justified. When the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, that is, for your own benefit or by your own desire or whatever, take the life of another person. Normally it's speaking about murder, but thou shalt not kill. You do not have the right to take my life. Is that true of a baby in the womb? Does it have any inherent right to take its mother's life? I can find nothing in Scripture that says to me that it does. So my answer is, yes, there are circumstances in which it is just and right for a woman to have an abortion. This is where Protestantism historically has differed from the Church of Rome. Historically, the Church of Rome has placed the life of the infant before the life of the mother. Protestantism has placed the life of the mother before the life of the infant. Now, having said that, I have known women who have been told by their doctors that we're dealing with a situation where we have two lives now, but only one is going to be there at the end. We can't save the life of the mother and the life of the infant she's carrying. I've known this to happen to women. I've known cases where the family, thinking of one husband in particular, who was very, very strong in this, a godly man, I believe that the life of my wife must come first. They saved her life, they lost the baby's life. But I know another lady, and when she was told the same thing, she said, well, I will still go to term. I will trust the Lord. If he wants to take my life, then let him take it, and I leave it with him. And in the good providence of God, in that case, both lives were saved. These are situations that most of us never have to face. But if you come back to the question, is it ever right for a woman to have an abortion? Rome says no. I believe that biblically Protestantism is right, and that to save her own life, not for her comfort, not for her convenience, not to limit the size of her family, not for financial reasons, not for anything like that, but to save her own life, yes, she would be justified in having that abortion. The only circumstance, not for incest, not for rape, not for anything else, to save the mother's life.
Watch.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have been delighted with the response to these programs. Your words of appreciation and your letters and emails have been most encouraging. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. And we're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is Darwinism. Two Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the fruit and the fallacies of Charles Darwin's theories. In that connection, there is a report on the wonders of God's handiwork displayed at the Creation Museum located near Cincinnati, Ohio. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. S.B. Cook. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the nation of France. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word, radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is revival? And do all who die as infants go to heaven? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
I read the Bible, I find, took me a long time to come to the understanding of this, but I find that there are two very distinct lines of thought about the fullness of the Spirit. Now, they are closely related lines of thought, but nonetheless, they are distinct. When I got down to a close analysis of the New Testament, I found that there were texts of Scripture in which there is an emphasis upon a sudden, single, or better, self-contained act of the Spirit of God as He filled Christians usually with power and boldness, in a critical situation for the service of the Lord. I am not going into detail on those verses today. I will in due course. But there are scriptures. You'll find them. Acts 2 and 4 is one of them. And again in Acts 4:31, you'll find that the construction of the language is that the Spirit of God came suddenly in a critical moment, in a single self-contained act, and He filled people, giving them boldness and power to do the work of God that was to hand. Now there's that line of study through the Scriptures on the fullness of the Spirit. But then there's a completely different, though very closely related, line through the Scriptures. Because there are various Scriptures which emphasize that there is a constant condition of Christians living consistently full of the Spirit of God. And though the words are very close, and obviously the ideas are related, nonetheless, we need to mark the difference. You see, there are an awful lot of Christians, and they're running around, and they think that if they do this and do that, and they have this tarrying meeting, and they take this step of faith, that they will get such an expression of the power of God that will suddenly make them great soul winners, great evangelists. Now, I do believe that there's power for every Christian to witness and work for God. And probably next Sunday morning I'll be going into that in some more detail. But when the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, it is not speaking of that sudden impulse of power. It is speaking of a continual dwelling in the fullness of Christ as the Spirit enables and as the Spirit directs. Be ye filled with the Spirit. It doesn't sound very good to say be ye being continually filled with the Spirit. But that is the actual force of the words as Paul gives them here. So today I want us to look at Ephesians 5 and 18. And I want us to consider the very simple fact that Christians can and should live lives that are continually under the direction of the Spirit of God. As we look at this text, there are three lines of thought, and I'm going to be very brief in the first two, for the third is the one I want to get to. When I look at Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, I see first a life which counterfeits the Holy Spirit's work. It says, be not drunk. Now I'm just going to suggest a couple of things and you can follow them through. Be not drunk. Drunkenness and doesn't take you to be paralytic to be drunk with wine, mind you. But drunkenness is the devil's mockery. And it is the devil's mimicry of the joy, the power, and the consolation of God the Holy Spirit. When a man gives himself to booze, and he feels the warmth that the booze gives him, and the confidence that the booze gives him, he feels that swelling up of joy and well-being within his heart and soul. He is experiencing something that is merely the devil's imitation of being filled with the Spirit of God, by whom God's people obtain real power, real joy, and real life. Be not drunk. The word drunk is a very interesting word. very graphic word. It literally means soaked. Well, I think you could certainly look around Greenville. Certainly when I'm back home in Ireland, it's very easy. The Irish have a reputation for being fond of the devil's brew, and they certainly are. And this word soaked very aptly describes the experience of so many. I was reading one learned commentator, and he pointed out something that interested me. One of the old Greek poets used this word to describe the process of soaking the skin of a bull in order to stretch it to the shape that was wanted. You know, when I got to thinking about that, I thought, is that not exactly what the devil's up to? Is that not what's happening in so many young people's lives? And they're brought along to the bar and they're made to feel big and masculine or strong or whatever argument the devil would use. And all that's happening is they're being pickled in the stuff. They're being soaked in it in order that they might be stretched until they are what the devil wants them to be, for the use that the devil wants to put them to. That's what it is to be drunk. We read that in this there is excess. The word excess means riot. You remember the parable in Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son? He spent his money in riotous living. He had a life that was counterfeiting the life of the Spirit or in the Spirit. He thought he was having a wonderful time, but it was riotous living. It was the excess, the overflowing of all the filth that's in the human heart. And a young fellow talked to me some time ago, criticizing an article that one of the professors at Bob Jones wrote in their magazine on drink. And this professor was rightly arguing for abstinence from booze on the part of God's people. I believe in people who are saved saying goodbye to the use of alcohol, except you want to rub it on a sprain or maybe for some medicinal purpose. I'm not going to say you die because you ought to have a medicine that has alcohol in it and you won't take it. But you know what I mean, that God's people should be, I strongly believe, a people who turn totally from the use of booze. This young fella, a Christian, professing, didn't like that, and he didn't like what this man wrote. And he says, he is denying the biblical doctrine of total depravity. I said, well, now, I read the article, and I think I know the man, and I don't really think that that's what he's doing at all. I'll have to read it again if that's in the article. He said, well, what he's saying is he's blaming booze on all these evils that men do. How men commit murder and various vicious moral crimes under the influence of drink. And he's saying all the time, instead of blaming the booze, he ought to be blaming their own depraved hearts. What a fool that young fellow was in this matter. This is what Paul's talking about. Oh, there are unspeakable depths of impurity and ungodliness in the human heart. Thank God for that restraining work of the Spirit of God that even among the enemies of the gospel puts a lid to a large extent on the overflowing of human wickedness. Otherwise, this world would be incapable of being lived in. But Paul is warning here, when a man gives himself to the life that counterfeits the work of the Holy Ghost, when a man gives himself to booze, then there is excess. Then there is that riotous, rebellious, putrid, overflowing of all the depths of wickedness in the human heart.
In our country, when IRA men want to go out and walk up to a man's home, ring the doorbell, burst in, and in front of his wife and family, blow his brains out, how do they get the courage to do it? They first get soaked in the devil's liquor. That's how they do it. And almost every crime is attended by booze, or in our day, by booze and drugs. The excess starts out as a life that's counterfeiting the joy and power, the consolation, the feeling of well-being that the Spirit of God alone can really give. How it ends up. There's a life then counterfeiting the Spirit's work.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.